Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Praise the Lord. Well, like I said yesterday and in the morning, thank you very much, sir, for putting this together. Amen. And we appreciate God's gift to us. Hallelujah. One of the things we are taught in the morning is that God did not anoint you for yourself. He anoints you for the benefit of others. So when you see people putting up meetings like this, in obedience to divine instruction, is for the benefit of the whole body. And I want to believe that we've been blessed, we are getting blessed, and will yet be blessed. In the name of Jesus. Please, let's say a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Our Father, we are grateful for how far you have led us from yesterday in the morning and right now. I thank you for instructions. Thank you for corrections. Thank you for direction. Thank you for transformation. And tonight we receive much more. We receive answers to questions. Let Jesus be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 1, please, verse 15 and 16. That is the anchor scripture I have been on since yesterday, and I want us to talk a little more. If you are around yesterday, we talked about understanding your calling, and in the morning, in my own session, I talked about how to discover your calling, amen, your place, amen, understand, discover. And tonight, like I promised, we'll be looking at keys to fulfilling your calling. Praise the Lord. Keys to fulfilling your calling. Glory, hallelujah. Keys to fulfilling your calling. Galatians 1 verse 15 says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, for what purpose? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately conform with flesh and blood." Hallelujah. It pleased God to reveal his son in me. For what purpose? That I might preach him. Reveal his son through me among the Gentiles. I did not immediately conform with flesh and blood. Praise God. So I want to take this teaching in different segments and trust God that we will arrive. Amen. Keys to fulfilling your calling. Number one, understand the purpose of our calling. Number one, understand the purpose of our calling. Amen. And we will just go through scripture so that we see the purpose. Glory, hallelujah. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Okay, verse 10 first. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and then 11. It says, "As each one has received a gift." We learn in the morning everybody has gifts. Is that not so? Everybody is gifted. But it's not everyone that is using their gifts. It's not everyone that have discovered their gifts. But in this meeting, we are having more discoveries. Amen. "As each one has received a gift, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Then verse 11 says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as what? The oracles of God. If anyone ministers," that's what we do in ministry, isn't it? We minister. "Let him do it as with the ability which God supplies." Why? Read with me. "That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why do we minister? That in all things God may be glorified. Glory, hallelujah. And you know we are called to minister. Here the Bible says we minister that God might be glorified. Praise God. So what is the purpose of our calling? I will list them. A, to glorify God. Amen. A, to glorify God. Every calling given to us by God is designed to glorify Himself. Every calling. Anything you call your assignment that does not glorify God is not from God. If it is from God, it will glorify God. Say amen, please. If it is from God, what will it do? It will glorify God. Now, it's very important we get the purpose of our calling well rooted in our spirit. Praise God. Amen. A, I said, is to glorify God. Hallelujah. And you know, I kept advising myself tonight. No, in the afternoon before I came here, that amen. I kept advising myself that I'll make it simple enough so that nobody will be angry with me. Praise the Lord. But if you get angry eventually, it's a holy anger. Praise the Lord. So, A, what's the reason for our calling? What's the purpose of our calling? Say it together with me, please. Note, please, clearly. We are not called to be popular. Not at all. Amen. You cannot measure the success of your ministry by your popularity. How many followers you have on social media? How many likes? Praise God. Can I talk to somebody simply, very simple, the way you agree with me? Are you with me? Nobody has your marking scheme. Who is the one that has your marking scheme? God. So don't be moved by human approval or disapproval. Hallelujah. They said, who are the top 10 favorite speakers of yours in the nation? I had one minister said, it was so disgusting. Praise God. He said, I've been laboring for years because I made up my mind that before you count 10 preachers in this nation, you must count me. Well, like God said to Elijah, there are over 7,000 knees that have not bowed that you don't know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. It's not the people on Lamplight that have divine approval. It depends on your function in the body. Hey, Joshua, why did you start that? They are getting angry already. Can I talk to you? Are you sure you are ready? Okay, so let's look at scripture. You know, Paul, by the Spirit of God, began to talk about ministry. Amen? Different calling. He compared our assignment in the body of Christ like the human body. Is that not so? He said the same way that the body has many parts, one body but many parts. He said so also is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is one, but it has many parts. Say amen. Somebody will say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body. Now, in a human body, you can see the eye. Is that not so? Your ear, your hair, your hand, glory, hallelujah, your legs. These are the parts that get the likes. Is that not so? Praise the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of us have ever snapped a picture for a program, you know, you pose, and you insist that they should snap your liver and appendix? Oh, liver and pancreas. How many of us would like our liver and pancreas to be seen? Nobody. Is that not so? But if they are snapping, amen, your ear appear very well. Hallelujah. Your eye appear very well. If God were to ask you, which one will you rather lose? One of your ears or your liver? Please answer me. Which one would you rather lose? The ear. So how many of us agree that your liver is more important than your ear? Yet your liver has never been seen. But your ears are always seen. How many of us agree that your heart is more important than your hair? Hello? You make your hair daily. It's your bad day, you make your hair. How many of us have ever made our heart? So that suggests to me that some of the most important role in the body of Christ are hidden. Say amen, somebody. So if you judge success in ministry simply by popularity, you'll be very wrong. We are not called to be popular. We are called to do the proper things. What is the proper things? Amen. Our pastor has been telling us from yesterday, the portion Christ has given to you. Say hallelujah. We are not called to be popular, just to do the proper things. Say an amen. And so it's important we get registered in our heart. Amen. It will save us from error in judgment and pursuit. What is the reason for this calling? I'd say A is to glorify God. Hear what Jesus said about his calling in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Next, verse 4, please. I have what? Glorified you on earth. How? Help me read. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. So if you do the work given to you by God, God will be glorified. Can I talk something here? The success of your calling is measured by how much your calling glorifies God. Praise the Lord. God is glorified, mission accomplished. Praise God. God is glorified, mission accomplished. So our purpose of calling, A, we are called to glorify God. Called to glorify God. Now, B, second to that, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 again. Galatians 1, verse 15. Amen. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Now, you see, when it pleased God. When it what? Let's say it together, please. When it what? We are called to please God. Your calling is what is pleasing to God about your life. Hallelujah. It's not what you choose. What is pleasing to God about your life? When I first knew that God has called me to ministry, but I didn't know what area I'm to function in. Amen. I just said, talk. You know, I know some people say from the time they got born again, the preach was there. They just want to preach. Mine was not so. I wanted to do everything except to preach or teach. In fact, I didn't want to be known at all. Not at all. Praise God. I used to tell my brother then that God has called you to preach. He has called me to support you. Amen. I'll make the money out of the plenty. I'll give you a little to do ministry. Now, that's how I kept talking about myself. So when I now found out that, well, I have a place in ministry, I told God, I will do ministry on one condition. It will make me an evangelist. So can you see evangelist Joshua now? Praise God. I tell people, listen, in life and ministry, we are not called to lead God. We are called to be led by God. So stop saying, I told the Lord what I want. What you told the Lord is not as important as what the Lord told you. Do I still have believers in the house? Praise God. I mean, I just want evangelistic fire. And if you look at my life, you can't find air. Even air is not there. Praise God. Like we said in the morning, it's just your discovery. What is pleasing about God of my life is that I dispense this word through teaching. And praise the Lord, I'm doing it. Hallelujah. So, B, to please God. C, let me try and move fast. The journey is far. Amen. Verse 16, C, he said, to reveal his son. To reveal his son. So, did you get that now? What's the purpose of our calling? To reveal Christ. Calling is all about Christ revealed and Christ glorified. Say amen. To reveal Christ. To reveal Christ. The revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. Anything you do that reveals Christ to humanity and glorifies God is your assignment. Anything. Amen. Anything. So, what we do is to see how we can reveal Christ and glorify Christ in what we are doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember teaching this one time. Somebody now said, but sir, I believe my calling is to play football. How does it fit into what you are saying? Listen, football playing is not a calling. Dear God, no hallelujah. What took me there? Let me say it again. Playing football, playing basketball, playing whatever is not a calling. It's just a combination of two things, talent and skills. You can use your talent to glorify God, but it's not a calling. Say an amen. Uh-huh. Thank you, Jesus. To reveal Christ. Say an amen. To reveal Christ. So the essence of calling is what? The revelation of Christ. First, to glorify Christ. Second, to please God. And third, to reveal Christ. Somebody help me with an amen. Aya. Let me get another amen. Now, the revelation of Christ in Scripture, if you study carefully, the revelation of Christ in the New Testament is threefold. Threefold. Number one, Christ revealed to us. Christ revealed to us. God said to Paul in Acts 26, verse 16. We read it earlier. I think it's yesterday. Let's read it again or in the morning. Acts 26, verse 16. Yeah, thank you. But he said, stand on your feet. For I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you what? A minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal. How? To you. So you can see first, Christ revealed to you in the place of intimacy. Thank you for an amen right there. Second, Christ revealed in you. In you. Galatians 1:15. To reveal his son in me. In me. Hallelujah. What does it mean Christ revealed in us? I will just mention it because I need to explain it in another subtitle. Christ revealed in us is simply becoming more like Christ. Becoming more like Christ. The Holy Spirit, by the word of God, reveal Christ in us. So that when people see you, all they are seeing is what? Christ. Are we still together? Can I continue? Then the third one, you see, he said, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him. That is revelation of Christ through me. So the third revelation of Christ is Christ revealed through me. First, Christ revealed to me. Christ revealed in me, and Christ revealed through me. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Woo! Acts chapter 22 and verse 14. Amen. Acts 22 and verse 14. Then he said, now that this was what Ananias told Saul, who later became Paul by prophecy. Please follow what he said. We will learn something. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should what? Know his will. That's Christ revealed to you, isn't it? Know his will. See the just one. Again, that is Christ revealed to you. Hear the voice of his mouth, knowing his voice. Again, that is Christ revealed to you. But I like verse 15. I want to say something here that will bless one person. For you will be what? His witness to all men of, read with me, what you have seen and heard. What will you witness to the whole world? What you have seen and heard. The revelation of Christ to you is your message to your generation. Revelation of Christ to you is your message to your generation. God did not call any one of us to teach everything. You will be a witness of me, of what you have seen and heard. Hallelujah. Revelation of Christ to you is your message to your generation. If you got that, say hallelujah. That means, this is very important, that means anything God reveals to you, he has many others at heart. Somebody help me with an amen. Anything God reveals to you, what is it? He has many others at heart. So the wisdom of God is this. Please hear this. Please hear this. It will bless you. Don't allow anything God began with you to die with you. Don't allow anything God began with you to die with you. Whatever God reveals to you, hallelujah, becomes your message revealed to the whole world, revealed to your generation. Just keep sharing with everyone. Amen. So if only one message has been revealed to you, that's all you keep teaching. If you have five, blessed be God, you will not rest. You are everywhere. Praise God. And so you can see why we cannot envy some people that are everywhere. Much is given to them. They have to be everywhere sharing everything. To some of us that just one thing, we stay with one thing. Say hallelujah. Whatever God blesses you with, share with others. Are you with me? In fact, in our ministry, we call this the golden success rule. And I believe if I share with someone, it will help you. You know the golden success rule? Whatever blesses you, share with others. If it has blessed you, extend it to others. Say an amen. Whatever blesses you, share with others. If it doesn't bless you, don't bother sharing it. It won't bless anyone either. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if it has been a blessing to you, it can bless another person. Now, can you help me share with somebody that golden success rule? Tell somebody beside you. Those that we are not, I see some people looking. What are they saying? You never followed us to begin with. Amen. Let's try it again. Whatever blesses you, share with others. Say it for the last time. Whatever blesses you, share with others. Hallelujah. Teach what you heard from others that have blessed you. Don't wait for what ears have not heard. Nothing new under the sun. Sing somebody's song before God give you your own song. Are we talking here? Read somebody's book before God give you the revelation to write your book. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. You know, I met a pastor. He traveled from wherever, I don't want to call his name, came to meet me in Zaria. Praise God. He said, sir, God has helped me to put together a book. And I want you to write the foreword. I said, interesting. Why do you want me to write foreword? You have read any of my books? You know, I just assumed that maybe he read one of my books and then he felt, do the foreword for me. This story is very interesting. I wish it's exaggeration. I said, you have read any of my books? He said, no, sir. I don't read after any Nigerian author. You see why I said to you, I wish I was exaggerating. So I looked at him closely. I said, are you a Ghanaian? He said, no. Are you a Cameroonian? He said, no, I'm a Nigerian. Then he called his state and local government. I said, I have a word for you from the Lord. Even your wife will not read your book because she doesn't read a Nigerian author. And even I that should do the foreword, I will not read your book. Dr. Mike Mudok said it this way, very humbling but very rich. He said, the greatest fool on earth is the person that cannot learn from another fool. Did you get that? The greatest fool on earth is the person that cannot learn from another fool. They say this person is a foolish man. You say, therefore, I cannot learn from him. Then you have become a greater fool than himself. That means learning is wisdom. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, please, quickly. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Can you see this? And the things that you have heard from me, not the one the Holy Ghost gave you directly, the ones you have heard from me among many witnesses, what should you do? Commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Somebody say an amen. So whatever you learn, God expects you to commit. To commit. To commit. Who do we commit to? I beg you, help me. Help me tonight. Who do we commit to? Now I want you to notice, God is not committed to gifted men. He's committed to faithful men. There are some of us here are great leaders in our different denominations. If God is leading you to appoint a leader under yourself, an assistant pastor, an associate pastor, a youth pastor, listen, don't appoint a gifted person. Appoint a faithful person. That is Bible principle. The things you've heard of me among many witnesses, who should you commit to? Faithful men. Hey, help me. I want to share something that will bless you. Who do we commit to? Who do we commit to? Now, see what happened. See what happened when faithful men are taught. Listen, commit this to faithful men who will be what? Able to teach. That means these men initially were just faithful men without ability. But by listening to teaching, they become able, faithful men. One person did not hear me. By listening to teaching, they now became what? Able, faithful men. That means, oh my God, this is beautiful. Anytime a faithful man listens to teachings, he receives ability. Divine ability comes through listening. As the word of God is taught, ability is being communicated to us. Ability comes through listening. Anytime a faithful man listens, what happens? He receives ability. Now, I want you to see, maybe with all humility, if I share this, it will bless someone. He said, faithful men who will be what? Able to teach others. If language means anything, it means I can improve my ability to teach by listening to others. If you got that, say amen. These men were just faithful, but by listening, they became what? Able. able. I can improve my ability to teach by listening to others. Are we talking to ministers tonight? Come on. Are we talking to ministers tonight? Any minister that does not believe in listening to others is a dangerous teacher. Joshua, you promise not to offend anyone. I repeat, any minister that does not believe in listening to others is what? A dangerous teacher. Because no matter how much of God you know in part. You need to listen to the other part from another person. So that when you take that part, this part, this part, this part, put together with your own part, then you will present sound doctrine. Thank you for an amen. Good listeners make good speakers. If you listen well, you will speak well. If you learn well, you will teach well. Say an amen. So the revelation of God given to you become your message to your generation. Now, why do I need to understand the purpose of ministry? I just mentioned four things. Purpose of calling, if you follow me. One, to glorify God. Two, to please God, or rather A, to glorify God, B, to please God, C, to reveal Christ. Is that D? That's all. Please God, glorify God, please God, and what? Reveal Christ. So see this simple suggestion. If you build your life around these three, you will find yourself fulfilling your calling. Build your life around the things that glorify God. The things that please God. Glory, hallelujah. The things that reveal Christ. Eventually, by process of time, you will just find out that, oh, I say we are fulfilling the calling. Somebody say hallelujah. But if you are just waiting for some mysterious things, then there will be danger. Praise God. So, the first thing I've said tonight, one, understand the purpose of your calling. If you got that, say amen. The second requirement for fulfilling your calling, very important, is that understand that there are two aspects to our calling. Please go with me on that very fast. Amen. This journey is a bit long, but it's beautiful. There are what? Two aspects to our calling. In the morning, I said to us that gifts are many, calling is one. Is that not so? Gifts, many. Calling, one. The gifts and the call of God are without repentance. So, even though we have one calling, there are two aspects to our calling. Masubi Isuche, amen. There are two aspects to our calling. The first one is primary calling. And the second one is the secondary calling. Praise the Lord. Primary calling, then what? Secondary calling. Hallelujah. Let me do justice to my time tonight. So listen, amen. This is the heart of what I'm sharing with us tonight. Amen. I'll show us how to fulfill primary calling, then how to fulfill secondary calling, then the job will be done tonight. If you're in agreement, say hallelujah. Primary calling and what? Secondary calling. Now, which one do you think comes first? Primary calling. In the same way we have primary school and secondary school, there's primary calling and there is what? A secondary calling. Somebody say an amen. Hallelujah. Primary calling. What is our primary calling? Amen. So let's talk a little about primary calling, maybe in the next 15 minutes. Are you ready? What is our primary calling? Now, just as the name implies, primary calling is general calling. General calling. It is the same for every believer. Primary calling is what? General calling. The same for every believer. Hallelujah. Primary calling. Somebody say primary calling. Say it again, please, if you don't mind. What is our primary calling? It's a general calling. It's the same for every believer. Please hear me, hear me. What I'm teaching is not difficult at all. It's very simple. Praise God. As a praise God. If your little child, 4 years old, or maybe 5 years old, it's time to enter primary school now. Amen. You take him to a primary school. You said, okay, Johnson, this is where you start school. He said, no, Dad, I don't want primary school. He said, what do you want? He said, Dad, I know my calling. I am called. The way you say, I even forgot what I wanted to say. I said, so you said, enter here. He said, no, Dad, I know my calling. I'm called to be a cardiothoracic surgeon. So just take me to the theater. Let me begin work. That he can mention cardiothoracic surgeon. You know he's a genius, isn't it? Come on, am I talking here? Your four-year-old is talking about cardiothoracic surgeon. He said, man, you are really a genius. But where will you see take him to? Primary school, thank you. Listen to me. Even though God has called you to be a notable prophet, an apostle of fire and brimstone, amen, the last apostle to African continent, that's your calling. We are not disputing. You must begin with what? Primary calling. I'm alone tonight. Are we together? Where is the common place we will all begin from? Primary calling. It doesn't matter what God has called you to be. Amen. Hallelujah. The Reinhard Bonnke of Africa. Go back to primary calling. Oh, I never forget, somebody walked to my office one time. He said, sir, the Lord said you should mentor me. I said, okay, that's beautiful. Are you sure? Yeah, you know. We just talk a little. He said, that's beautiful. Then he said, but, sir, before we end the talk today, I want to introduce myself to you. I said, okay. He said, actually, that's where I first heard it. He said, God has called me as end-time apostle of fire and brimstone from the continent of Africa to the whole world. I said, wow, that's beautiful. Now, what he said next is what blessed me most. He said, sir, what is the assignment of an apostle? I say, it's your calling now. You're asking me. The bulldozer of Africa. Aya. Calling is not in titles, it's in what? Function. Praise God. Now, where is the common ground we all begin fulfilling calling? Please, somebody answer me. Say it aloud, I beg you. Now, our primary calling is general. And I want to mention to you 4 aspects of our primary calling. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Primary calling. The first aspect, maybe we'll put A to that. We are called to fellowship with God. Read with me if you don't mind. God is faithful, by whom you were called into what? Fellowship. Fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. We are called to fellowship. We are called to fellowship. Somebody say an amen. We are called to fellowship. Mark chapter 3 and verse 13. Amen. I trust God for speed tonight. Amen. Call to thank you, Lord. So he said, where are you rushing to? I say, I trust him for speed. He said, where are you rushing to? If all you learned is primary school, at least you can sign check from bank. Is that not so? If you go through primary school, you can write your name, you can sign check, you make money. You see, some are struggling in ministry because they've not gone through primary. And he went up, this is Jesus, up on the mountain and called to him those that he himself wanted, and they came to him. Let's read verse 14 together if you don't mind. Want to go? Then he appointed 12 that they may what? Be with him. Be with him. Many of us like part B, that he might send them. Is first to what? Be with him. So our primary calling, every one of us, is what? To be with the Lord. To be with the Lord. We are called first to intimacy. And permit me to say it this way. Intimacy is the bedrock of ministry. Intimacy with God is the bedrock of ministry. You cannot do ministry well without intimacy with God. Intimacy is the bedrock of ministry. If you are doing ministry without spending time with God, you are building on sandy ground. Ah, hallelujah. Come on, I say hallelujah. I know a brother, praise God. I know a brother, he said that he's called to be a prophet. And I believe he's called to be a prophet. You can see the dimension of the prophetic operational in his life. But you know the interesting thing about him, sir? He doesn't like prayers at all. Anytime his church calls for prayer, he looks for a reason to travel or to sleep. Now, if you are a prophet and you are not spending time with God, you will start prophesying by another spirit. A lying spirit will take over you. Somebody say an amen. They know they hear me. Say another amen. Spending time with God is the engine room for your ministry. You may have a very beautiful car without the engine, it's going nowhere. That means without intimacy with God, your ministry is going nowhere. Oh, in 2011, the Lord said to me, the most important aspect of ministry, I will say it slowly, it will help somebody. The most important aspect of ministry is usually the most neglected part of ministry. And he said, that is why there is so much failure and struggle among ministers. So I was curious, what is that most important aspect of ministry? So spending time with God. Spending time with God. Hallelujah. On any average day you spend time with God without preaching, without teaching, you are fulfilling ministry. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? I mean, if you have been born again for up to 5 years, you will be a witness to what I'm going to say next. That it's easier to preach than to pray. I'm waiting for witnesses. Amen. Praise God. Can we talk a little? Do I have sincere brethren in the house? How many of us have fallen off to sleep while praying? I should be raising two hands. Now drop your hands. I want to ask, how many of us have fallen off to sleep while preaching or teaching? As you are teaching, even Apostle Eutychus does not sleep during preaching. You know why it is so? Huh? Talk is cheap. Intimacy is expensive. Are you with me? The foundation of your ministry is in your intimacy with God. Listen to me. A friend of mine said something and I borrow it. I share it with you. The first and the greatest spiritual attack any minister will face is an attack on their prayer life. Anything that attacks your prayer life will program you to fail. Talk is cheap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is it possible for me to switch off this thing? Huh? I just asked a question. You stood up. Is it possible? All right, so stand there. You help me do something now. I didn't say off it. Illustration. Hey! You know one problem I have with protocol? They are like Peter in the Bible. They are always going ahead of Jesus. A woman was crying after Jesus to heal their daughter. Peter, I suppose. and other disciples say, Master, chase her away, for she cried after us. No. Peter, it's not you they are crying after, it's Jesus. And you know protocol, many times when they are leading men of God out, they say, nobody should touch me. If you see the way they are moving, it's like, you can't touch us. It's not you, protocol. Hallelujah. John, I mean, it is not you. Somebody say amen. Now, please permit me, I honor you, I respect you all, but I want to share something very practical that will bless us. Amen. If you have preached for up to 2 years, you know what I'm about to say. That there are times that you were least prepared. You go up stage and the power of God flows so much. Amen. Maybe you were overtaken with work and plenty of things. You didn't even pray. When you're about coming to church, you just did sign of the cross. You say, Lord. Then you came and fire flew. And you are like, by the grace of God. By the special grace of God. I have reached a realm in ministry where I don't need prayer for power to flow. Now, so I want you to watch. Can you see this fan that is blowing? How many of us know it's connected to a power source? Please switch it off. Switch it off. Let's see. Have you turned it off? How many of us know it's still blowing? Huh? Can you see it? But what is happening is gradually coming to a standstill. That means when you disconnect from your power source, you will still be manifesting for a while. But it won't be too long. Everybody will know that there's a disconnection. So can I talk to you? It's dangerous to have results without a successful prayer life. It will deceive you to forget the basics. Very dangerous. Please put it on again. Put it on. You can go back to your seat. Thank you. Very dangerous to have results without successful prayer life. You say, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. I have touched some realms that I can turn on and turn off. Oh, yeah. When I hear people talk like that, I know they are close to extinction. We don't use the Holy Ghost, He uses us. They are not saying amen. No. Our own is to prepare ourselves. His own is to use us the way He wants. So what is the first aspect of our primary ministry? We are called to what? Fellowship with God. Called to be with Him. Somebody say an amen. Praise God. Now, let's see another thing about our primary ministry. This is very important. Amen. Woo! B. Primary calling. All of us. We are called to become more like Christ. Wow. We are called to what? Become more like Christ. Let me show us from three portions of scriptures. And I'm sure once we reach three, you will agree or else you are not a believer. Number one, Mark. Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. Mark 1 and verse 17. We are called to be like Christ. We are called to be like Christ. Somebody say amen. Read with me if you don't mind. Then Jesus said to them, what did he say? Follow me and I will make you become what? Help me again. Follow me and I will make you become what? Now, when Jesus said this, there was only one fisher of men on earth. Who is that person? Say it aloud. So Jesus was simply saying, follow me, I will make you become like myself. What is the zenith of our calling? Becoming like Christ. Zenith of our calling. Becoming like Christ. That's all. Hallelujah. And so if you're a man of power, but your life does not look like Christ, I doubt your calling. You see how the amen is reducing now? Somebody say amen. He said, follow me, I will make you become like Christ. Follow me, I will make you. Ha! If we slow down, somebody will be blessed. What is your job description? To follow. What is Christ's job description to make? In other words, who I become is at the mercy of my followership. If I don't like what I am becoming in ministry, I should blame my followership. If I follow well, he will make me. If I follow well, he will make me. If I follow well, he will make me. Help me with an amen if you're in the house. Christ did not call us to perform. No, he called us to follow. Called us to follow. Called us to follow. Called us to follow. Praise God. You know the way I'm looking at the faces I see in Gombe here, Northeast. Many of you are very holy, so probably you've not heard some of these funny things that we hear in some places. How many of us have heard of men of God going to spiritualists, Babalawo and Mamalawo, for power? You have not? You see why I say you are very holy? How many of you have heard such? Okay. How many of us have heard of men of God that go to juju men? You know juju? Huh? The ones that are still learning job, we call them juju. But the experienced ones are what? Juju men. How many of you have heard of men of God going to juju men? Now, but the issue is, why will a man of God go to a juju man for power? He has forgotten his job description. What is the job description? Follow me! He did not say work miracles. Please, let's read something. Let me spoil some people's night just now. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 40. 40, 41, then 42. Yeah? John 10, 40. Beautiful. Don't worry. When I spoil your night, Pastor will come and fix it before we go. Amen. And he went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Yeah. Then many came to him. Now, let's read this in Old King James now. It will hit us more. Verse 41. Thank you. Old King James. All right. Let's read it together if you don't mind. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no... John did how many miracles? No, please read very well. John did how many miracles? Okay, let's read something else Jesus said about this John. Matthew 11, verse 11. Matthew 11 and verse 11. Now see what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Hey, Jesus said he was the greatest, but he did no. I need to slow down for somebody to hear now. Elisha did twice as much miracle as Elijah. But Elijah was greater than Elisha. He's his mentor. But John the Baptist now, that Jesus said, is greater than all the Old Testament prophets. He added he did no miracle. That means greatness in the sight of God is not measured by how many miracles you are working. I told you it will spoil your night, isn't it? Greatness in the sight of God is not measured by how many miracles you are performing. Hallelujah. A great man in the sight of God is the one that does what God has said for him to do. What did God say to do? If you are doing it, you are great. Hallelujah. Don't confuse performance with success. Amen. John, please come. May I have another protocol officer? I need one more. I hope you are not a pastor. Are you? You're a pastor? All right, so I want you to watch. What's your name, sir?
Edward.
You are my assignment for you. Will you do it? Please, I want you to sit here at the staircase. Just sit. Amen. Sit, cross your leg very well. Now, all I want you to do is keep looking at whatever John is doing. Is that okay? John, what I want you to do is you run from this end of the table to that end and come back. One, two, go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John is faithful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Let's begin from where you can relate with. Amen. If you just walked in here, you didn't know the preceding instruction, who will you say is doing greater work? Who will you clap for more? Who do you think is more faithful? Then I ask you the next question. Who among them is doing my will? So doing the will of God is not measured by activities. It's about what? The instruction given to you. He is burning more energy. The other man is resting, but they are both doing my will. So if I come here to reward, who will I reward? Both of them. So let's assume, amen, John, while seated, he saw that 80% of people in the, what did he call your name? Edward. He saw 80% of people clapping for John. Can we do the drama, be clapping for John? Then Edward said, me, Mike, and run. Oh, yeah. Can you see both of them are burning energy? So when I stop them now, who will I reward? That means there are many people working so hard in the kingdom of God without rewards because they are not doing what God has said for them to do. Something. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Hey, success in the sight of God is not measured by results. Hey, help me, oh, I beg you. Help me, oh. Help me with your amen. What is your job description? Shout it aloud. Follow. Follow the written word of God. Follow instructions in your spirit. Follow what your mentor is saying. That's all. Not results, I beg you. Not results, I beg you. Not results, I shout it again. Not by results. Follow. Thank you. You may sit down. I learned a great lesson just studying Moses. Can I submit to you? This minister's meat. Can I submit to you? When the children of Israel first lack water, they cry unto God and say, no water. No, they cry to Moses, no water. Then God said to Moses, go strike the rock. He struck the rock, and what happened? Water came out. So when he hit the rock in obedience, positive result, water came out. Say amen. Then the second time, God said, speak to the rock. But in disobedience, he struck the rock, but water still came out. Dear God, I want to run out of this place. That means, as a minister, it's possible to get results in disobedience. So if we judge the success of our ministry strictly by results, we will be in great error. It's very possible to have results in disobedience. Somebody say amen. Sir, you know the scary part of the story? The result Moses got in disobedience hindered him from entering the promised land. Probably if water did not come out when he struck the second time, in obedience he would have gone and said, rock, God said you should come out water. And Moses would still enter the promised land. That means one of the things that hinder many ministers from fulfilling their assignment is what? Results that are gotten out of disobedience. Sobering thoughts. If you are with me, say amen. Hey! In the sight of God, obedience is greater than results. Somebody say amen if you are with me. Obedience is greater than results. It is better to obey and be seemingly without results than to disobey and have results. And see something from scripture, what we must do to our calling. Acts chapter 26. Praise God. Acts chapter 26, please. Let's look at, yes, verse 19. See what Paul said to Agrippa. Hey, help me read. One, two, go. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not what? Disobedient unto. What was Paul referring to as heavenly vision? His calling. So he said, I was not disobedient to my calling. Child of God, listen to me. Your calling will always demand your obedience. Your calling. If you are going to fulfill your calling, one word that is very important is what? Obedience. Let a believer shout it after me. What is that one word? Obedience. Your calling will always demand your obedience. Obedience to the written word of God, obedience to the leading of the Spirit, obedience to what your mentors are telling you, obedience to the demands of your calling. Wow. Somebody say amen. Your calling will always demand obedience. I read another scripture that supports it. Hebrews chapter 11, yes, verse 8. I believe it's verse 8. I'm not quoting wrong. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, read with me please. Abraham, when he was called, see that word, called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. What did he do? Obeyed. Your calling does not demand your performance. What does it demand from you? Obedience. So can I submit something to you very humbly? Thinking you can live a disobedient lifestyle and fulfill your calling is self-deception. No calling can ever be fulfilled in disobedience. Dear God, if that's all you've had tonight, I'm happy. No calling, get it? No calling can ever be fulfilled in disobedience. First, obedience to the written word. Second, obedience to the leading of the Spirit. Third, obedience to instructions of your mentors. No calling can ever be fulfilled in disobedience. If you want to arrive at the place called dear, then obedience must be mandatory in your life. Say an amen. Follow me and I will make you. I will make you become. So let me quickly finish this primary calling. We are called to be more like Christ. Say amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Hallelujah. Praise God. As a praise God. Let me ask you a question. Amen. How many of us pastors, please listen to me. Pastors, if you are invited for a meeting and for some reason you cannot make it, you will send your dog to represent you. Well-trained dog. You have a German shepherd. How many of us will do that? Nobody. Now, why wouldn't you send your dog? Somebody help me. Huh? Talk now. Simple question. Why wouldn't you send your dog to represent you? He's not qualified. Why is he not qualified, sir? Huh? Thank you. It's not like me. That means if I am not like Christ, I will misrepresent Christ. To represent him well before men, I must become more like him. Dear Lord, I think we should close now. Are you getting blessed? Ha!
See, you are the one that is thinking that God is interested in you performing things, performing signs and wonders. No. He will work those things through you. Are you with me? For it is God that works in us, both to will and to do. He knows exactly what to do. All he wants for you is follow, follow. Or you are supposed to minister somewhere. Will you look at one Okada rider and say, please? Very harsh illustration, sir. Assuming when it's time for ministration, yesterday, man, you are waiting for me. One Okada rider came, broom, broom. He now asks, is this the Getaway Christian Center? He said, what are you looking for? He said, the right Reverend Tende sent me to represent him. Man of God cannot even imagine it. How many of us will be grossly disappointed? Let me see your hand. That means if Christ sends you, even though you don't look like him, your generation will be disappointed at Christ. So while some of us are crying, Lord, send me, send me. God is saying, be like me, be like me. Lord, use me, use me. God is saying, be like me, be like me. Rather than crying for God to use you. Hallelujah. Sit down with God and become more like him. When you become more like him, you will be used for the assignment. Hiya! I know here, amen. Ooh. I know here, amen. I beg me kuna de shout am. Romans chapter 8, please. 28-29. Amen. Yeah. God is helping us tonight. If you're in the house, say amen. Amen. All right. I read this in New King James. This King James. Let's read King James. No problem. From King James. All right. Stay with New King James now. From there, I will go to New Living Translation. See with me. My media person is very gifted. Amen. Anything I mention, pam pam, they have touched. For whom he foreknew, he also what? Predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Please, let's read this in New Living Translation. I want everybody to join me on board now. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Woo! Praise God. As a praise God. For God knew his people in advance. And what did he do? And he chose them. What did he choose us to do? Please read it with me. To become like his son. What did God call us to do? Answer me. What is our primary calling? All of us. Say it aloud, I beg you. What is our primary calling? All of us. I'll say something that will bless someone now. Now, what does it mean to become more like his son? Ephesians 4, verse 15. King James first. King James, then New Living Translation. Just watch this. Woo! Praise God. Pastor Sam, it seems good to use you for illustration. Please come, sir. It's when your wife is covering her face. I hope you won't slap me. I was asking of his oldest son, Jason. Yes. He said, today is his birthday. I wonder why I was pulled to use him for illustration. Beautiful. All right. So let's read, please. Read with me. What I would say next, if you know, bless you, I'll flog you. But speaking the truth in love, what will happen? We may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What does the Bible refer to as growing up? New Living Translation, the same verse. Amen. Just bear with me, sir. A few minutes, I will let you go to your seat. Instead, we will what? Speak the truth in love. Now, read with me. Growing in every way. What does it mean to grow? Becoming more and more like Christ. Say amen, please. So, what is spiritual growth according to the Bible? Becoming more and more like Christ. What is our primary calling? To become more and more like Christ. Did you get that? Our primary calling is to become more and more like Christ. Spiritual growth is to become more and more like Christ. If you are with me, say amen. In other words, in our primary calling, we are called to grow up spiritually. Say amen if you are with me. So hear this. Hear this, I beg you. Any believer, any minister that is not growing up spiritually is not fulfilling his calling. To fulfill your calling, spiritual growth is mandatory. Are you with me? To fulfill your calling, spiritual growth is what? Mandatory. Hi. Jesus. This thing they burn me. Now, please imagine with me, Pastor Samson is not here. Just imagine Jason is on my left. 7 years old. Can you imagine that? Why are you so absent today? Can you imagine Jason here? He's on my left. Jason's dad is on my right. Praise God. And I need to get to Bauchi, amen? I need to get to Bauchi tomorrow. Then Jason comes to me and said, Daddy, I'll drive you to Bauchi. Will I agree? Answer me now. Will I agree? Okay. Jason decided to fast for 21 days so that I will allow him to drive me to Bauchi. Will I agree? In that 21 days fasting, he's praying 19 hours daily. After the 21st day, he said, Daddy, I want to drive you to Bauchi. Will I agree? But Jason's father, without prayer, I'm looking for who to drive me to Bauchi. I said, will madam allow you to go to Bauchi? He said, yes. How many of us know? I would say, okay, let's go. Did he pray? Did he fast? But I am using him. That means, what's the difference? Let me ask you. Why am I using him and rejecting his son that is 7? Call that word aloud. That means, what spiritual growth will give to you, fasting and prayer cannot. What spiritual growth will give to you, 21 days dry fasting, 40 days dry fasting, cannot. Are we making light of fasting? No, but we are telling you that fasting is a means to an end. The real end is that we grow up and become more like Christ. Please respond so that I'll let man of God go and sit down. So if Jason said, Daddy, I want to drive you anywhere you are going to preach, what would be my answer? Grow up. Daddy, use me. Use me. Anywhere you are going to preach, use me to drive you. My answer will be, so many of us, when we say, God, use me to work miracles, God will say, God, use me to build a build church, God will say, God, use me to impact my generation, God will say, it means, if you follow what I'm saying, it means spiritual growth determines my usefulness in the hands of God. Thank you, sir. Spiritual growth determines my usefulness in the hands of God. I mean, Jason can cry unto me and say, oh, Daddy, you remember the Bible said the glory of the latter is greater than the former. I will say, grow up. Yeah, I know you do greater than your father, but what? Grow up. So talk to me, child of God. What do you think is limiting you most from being used by God greatly? Lack of spiritual growth. If you grow up, you will be more useful in the hands of God. And how many of us know that growing process is tough, but manifestation is easy? Is that not so? I don't know. Have you seen some people use spiritual gifts? You don't even want to hear about it. I tell you, in Gombe, you are in a good place. You've not seen something. I was in a meeting. A man of God was speaking. Say, there is a lady here. You get crocro for your nyash. Spirit say, come out. Now, I am not doubting that God showed him that, but you see, when God gives you a revelation, it takes spiritual growth to present it well. So, your divine revelation is at the mercy of your spiritual growth. Lord, use me, use me, use me. God is saying, grow up, grow up, grow up. Use me, use me, use me. Grow up, grow up, grow up. How many of us know for a full-grown child, even when he doesn't want to be used, his father will say, come here. You are driving me to Bauchi. Daddy, I'm not in the mood. He said, take tea and enter mood. That's why some of the things you are crying that God will use you to do, another person without praying for it is happening. It's happening. I had an evangelist in this nation. Let me spare his name. Amen. He said he went for a crusade. He's into crusade a lot. Amen. And he said, by experience, it's a normal thing in crusade. By the last day, you still meet some people that are not yet healed. So it's dangerous. So he went for crusade. 3 days crusade. Day one, blind eyes open. Some people are walking, but some went home the same. The coordinator said, tomorrow, come back. Everybody will get their healing. So the second day, more people received, but there are some that did not get. The last day, he said from experience, as as he was ministering, 15 minutes into his message, he came to his wife. He said to Mama, go and enter the car. He said, driver, go and start the car. Mama, go in. Now I'm looking at you. I cannot say the next thing I want to say that. You know what, sir? When she said, go and enter the car, she said, why? I said, why is it that women always ask, why? He said, madam, go and enter. Well, he continued preaching. He didn't preach up to other days. He preached for 1 hour. But this day, 20 minutes, he just prayed. He said, first wave of miracle. As he prayed, as people were shouting, he passed the mic. He rushed to enter car. So they would drive off. Then some of the people with crutches that were not yet healed, they realized man of God was gone. They came and blocked Mama. They say, Mama is not going anywhere. He said, protocol, go and bring Mama. He said, sir, these people, the way they are standing, they can kill. See them with their crutches. He said, Mama is not going anywhere. Call the miracle worker to come. The man of God got angry. He said, you see, when I say run to car, she say, why? Now you have seen why, ba? So out of anger, he came out. He shared his testimony. He came out that, is it a must for somebody to work miracle? Eh? You will trap somebody's wife. They say, be healed in Jesus' name. They started dropping crutches. They were walking. As soon as first two dropped crutches, you know what Mama did? She ran to the car this summer. Now, you laugh. But the lesson I want you to learn here is the miracle some of us labor for days in fasting and prayer. Even in anger, this man was walking it. Why? He has grown up enough to be trusted with that. Can I ask you a question? Can God trust you with his power? Now we are talking about fulfilling assignment. God called you to use you, but can he trust you? Becoming more like Christ. Somebody say an amen. Ah, say another amen. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. God is saying, if you can do anything, son, you can grow up. Help me talk to two persons. Grow up to go up. Then tell them, grow up to stay up. You see, to go up, you need to grow up. To stay up, you need to grow up. Without spiritual growth, no ministry can be fulfilled. Thank you for an amen. Thank you for another amen. Hallelujah. All right, secondary calling. I move to secondary calling now. In a short while, I will stop so that we will take questions. When I say short while, it can be 1 hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you grow up, your short while can take a while. Secondary calling. Now listen, your secondary calling is your specific assignment in the body. Specific assignment in the body of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now, I don't know too much of Gombe. Please, I need your help, sir. Do we have any other minister holding young ministers conference in Gombe? Okay. Okay. One person. That you know. Praise God. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. Is it only two of them that are called of God? But why is it that just two of them are doing this? Is what has been given to them. Can I suggest to you? Whatever has not been given to you, leave it alone. Whatever has not been given to you, leave it alone. Let me give you an example with myself. In our ministry, there was a time, Pastor Ladidi will bear witness, he was in Zaria then. There was a time in Zaria I was known as a marriage teacher. Anytime we declare love and marriage, hey, it's usually 1 month. Some pastors in Zaria get angry because they won't see their members. Their members will be in my church. You'll be wondering, where are the people coming from? In fact, during love and marriage, we don't need bus service. They will come. They will full to overflow everywhere. So some people started telling me, sir, you are called to teach love and marriage. Again, I said like yesterday, don't allow anyone give you a calling. But you see, I knew that because if you are called to teach, if you go to any subject, you will not lack what to say. So I knew I was teaching love and marriage because there's teaching grace on me. Not that I was called to teach marriage. But they want to make me marriage teacher. In process of time, one of my sons in ministry discovered his place teaching marriage. And that's what he enjoys doing. The moment he started doing that, I stopped doing it. When Jesus shows up, John the Baptist should keep quiet or else. And so when I saw someone that is doing better in that area, I said, "Toh, this one is given to you. Well done." In the same ministry, there was a time my voice was very loud on healing. Any verse in scripture give me, I will teach healing from there. Then another son of mine rose up with the calling to teach and heal the people. And I saw grace. This one, he can just come up and say, tonight there shall be healing in the house. You hear people will start shouting, healing have started. But me, I will come and say, tonight there shall be healing in the house. They say, oh, you are healed now. We are waiting. So you know what I did? I passed the baton to that one. But I know the one God has given me. I stayed there. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? My point is, secondary calling talks about specifics. That's what Pastor has been explaining to us from yesterday. John 2 verse 5. Let me say that quickly. Then, Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Specifics.
Where is my note?
John 2 verse 5. If you don't mind, read with me. John chapter 2. This look like Job. John chapter 2 verse 5. Let's read together if you don't mind. His mother said to the servants, what did he say? Whatever he says to you. Let's say it again for the last time. Whatever he says to you, that is secondary ministry. Doing specifically what God tells you. If he has said nothing, do nothing. Just get busy with primary calling. If he has not given you any specific instruction, stay busy with primary calling. Becoming like Christ. Winning souls like Christ. Serving like Christ. Somebody say an amen. Talking like Christ. Everywhere. Doing like Christ. That's all. But when God gives you a specific assignment, you launch out. Somebody say amen. Now I need to say something quickly here. None of us will ever be distinguished in ministry by primary calling. Your distinction is in your secondary calling. In secondary calling, each one of us is unique for our assignments. Each. None of us. You cannot excel just by primary call. You must find out specific. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. And that's how you get there. Say amen. All right. So I'll mention quickly in the next few minutes how to fulfill your secondary calling. How to fulfill your secondary calling. Number one is what we just read in John chapter 2 verse 5. By following divine direction. Hallelujah. Number one, by following divine direction. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on now, as a praise God. Well, everyone you know called of God is planting church, so you are called also, you must plant church. No. What will you have me do? Are you with me? There are different ways that ministry find expression. Find your place and stay there. Some are called to be chaplain in secondary school, in universities, in polytechnic, and they fulfill the assignment there. Somebody help me with an amen. You see, but the God who called you is the one that knows what he wants to use you for. If he called you as key, don't make yourself padlock. Say, with my size, I should be padlock. Padlock is bigger than key. No! Specific instruction. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody say amen. You know one of my best pictures are of fulfilling secondary calling? Jesus riding on a donkey to Jerusalem. Is somebody with me? How many of us know that donkey, there was a prophetic word concerning that donkey, that Jesus will ride on a donkey to Jerusalem? Let me see your hand. So the destiny, the ministerial destiny of that donkey is to carry Jesus to Jerusalem. How did the donkey fulfill that? It followed the direction Jesus led it. Assuming when Jesus was saying straight, he said, nah, right at the turn. I'm the righteousness. I know who I am. I'm turning right. You know why some of us struggle so much? We are doing what we have not been sent to. Direction. But Pastor God has said nothing, then keep waiting on him. When it comes to specific, wait for direction. Hallelujah. God only sponsors what he orders for. If he has not told you to do that, nothing for you. Specific instruction. Thank you for one amen. Thank you for another amen. All right, let me leave that alone. Praise God. Number two, commitment. Commitment. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. Commitment. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was what? Committed to my trust. Say with me if you don't mind. Committed to my trust. You see, Paul did not say the gospel that was given to me. He said committed. When it comes to ministry, God commits ministry to us. Why? It takes commitment to fulfill what was committed to you. I need to say that again. Did you hear me? It takes what? Commitment to fulfill what was committed to you. Without your commitment, your calling can never be fulfilled. Without your commitment, your calling can never be fulfilled. Hi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I want to give us a little thought here. I was just thinking whether I should do that or not. I'll mention some few things and tell you the God side and the man side. You see, calling, ministry generally, there is the man side and there is the God side. That's why we are called men of God. Are you with me? So I want to talk to you about a few things. One of them is grace. The other one is gift. The other one is calling. The other one is ministry, purpose, then destiny. Are you ready? Maybe I should add future to it. Okay? I'll be fast too. So just try and follow me too. The first one I said is what? Grace. So Paul, speaking about the grace of God in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. Then he said, the grace upon me was not in vain because I what? Labored. Say with me, labored. Say it again. Paul here inferred that grace without labor is in vain. Wave if you got that. So listen to this. Hear me. The grace on your life is at the mercy of your labor. The grace on your life is at the mercy of your labor. If you refuse to labor, the grace you receive will be in vain. 2 Corinthians 6:1 said, we should not receive the grace in vain. How do I make the grace effective? By labor. Say with me, labor. Say it again. If we are tired, we can stop here. Say it, let me hear you. We learn in the morning. How many of us did God give grace to? All of us. But you know what? God does not give labor to anyone. We are the one to supply labor. Grace is God's gift to me. Labor is my gift back to God. Say an amen. So, the grace on my life is at the mercy of my labor. The second one is gifts. Gifts. Gifts are for service. The gift of God on your life, plural, gifts, plural, are at the mercy of your service. Without your faithful services, your gifts will never show up. So how do you know somebody is a teacher or has a teaching gift? By his teaching service. How do you know somebody has a singing gift? By their singing. Are you with me? So if you will not serve, your gift will be of no use. I'm glad one person said amen. Number three, which is what I'm talking about, is calling. Say calling. Hiya. Say calling. The beauty
of your calling is at the mercy of your commitment. The greater your commitment, the greater the glory of your calling that will be seen. You see, all of us are called. All. But there are some that, if you look at their life, there's no evidence God flashed them not to think of call. Now, what is missing? Shout it aloud. Commitment. Calling will require commitment on your part. Can I talk to somebody? Can I talk to you? If you are called to fivefold ministry and you hate all night ministry, sorry, you hate all night prayer, please resign before you start. Prayer is commitment. Teaching and preaching is shining. Champions, boxing champions are not recognized in the ring. Sorry, are not trained in the ring. They are trained outside the ring, recognized in the ring. They may train for 1 year for 1 hour show. Hi. Now I know I'm not talking to anyone. Are you still with me? Huh? But you see, believers, ministers generally, we like the shine of calling, but the commitment. I shared one time. I said, if you are fasting, you try to pray, and you are too weak to pray. You want to read Bible, all you are seeing is black. Black. You are wondering whether you've entered hell or you're on earth. I said, break your fast. Take something light, so that your eyes will see clearly John chapter 3 verse 16. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's common sense. One pastor, a protege of mine, is probably following me. Don't worry, I won't call your name. Amen? That guy liked to fast. Jesus. He fasted one time, I think 7 days dry, then came to teach in his church. He was explaining 10 minutes. When he said, the Bible says, he went down. They had to carry him to hospital. So as they carried him to hospital, his wife followed and said, food. Food. As soon as they helped him with something to drink and to eat, he just came back. Strength came back. He said, I want to go back and continue message. Doctor said, no, lie down. Then he called me. He said, sir, the devil disgraced me. I said, it's common sense you lack. You have fasted. You want to go out. You are seeing darkness. Take a little wine for the sake of your stomach. That is juice. That's why when ministers come, we put juice in their room. Thank you for the one you gave me. Amen. One time I was in a meeting too. I was led to just fast. 3 days meeting to just fast. Day one, I fasted. No eating, just took water. When I'm minister, day two, the same. Day three, as soon as I wore my suit, I couldn't see the door again. The protocol says, sir, can we go? I said, mm-hmm. So I just used my hand and found my seat. I said, open the fridge, bring something there. Amen. Took something light, took a little cake. Then I went to minister. Now there's a reason I'm telling you all this story. So I shared this story. I said, see, fasting is important, but don't kill yourself in the name of fasting. After service, a brother met me and said, sir, Kai, this is the best message I've ever heard you preach. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, tell me, which part bless you most? He said, that fasting. He said, sir, I don't have the gift of fasting. Now, I had to tell him that fasting is not a gift. Is a discipline and a commitment. Nobody was born fasting. Discipline yourself to do it. I'm glad somebody said amen. Amen. Another one is saying amen. Amen. Ministry requires commitment. You know, sir, I hope I'm safe. Can I talk? Without exaggeration, yesterday, as you were introducing me, that this man teaches well. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me on my seat there? He said, Joshua, it's time to learn how to teach the word. So I wrote it and dated it that this is the first blessing I received from this meeting. That it's time to learn how to teach the word. That takes me to the next point that I want to explain in fulfilling your calling. Number three is called continuous learning. What did I call it? Continuous learning. Ministry cannot be fulfilled without continuous learning. Oh, Reverend Chika explained to us in the morning. What was the first assignment Jesus fulfilled in the temple? He was seated, listening, and asking questions. How do you summarize listening and asking questions? Learning. And so I was so blessed. I was so blessed as he was talking that Jesus was learning. So when they met him in the temple, he said, do you not know that I must be about my father's? What did Jesus call our father's business? Say it aloud. So if you are learning, you are doing your father's business. How many of us from yesterday till today, you've learned something? So what are you doing? Your father's business. The business is not limited to preaching and raising cripples. Learning. I remember a brother, a pastor, he has left us now. He used to be with us. Amen. The day he was ordained pastor, with two others that we are ordained the same day, the two other ones came to me and thanked me. He said, sir, thank you for recognizing the call of God, giving us platform to function. Amen. They thanked and left. This brother, the day he was ordained, amen, in the evening, he came to my house, sitting room with his suit, necktie. I said, where are you going to this evening? He came, sat down, very well, crossed his leg. They gave him drink. So I was waiting for his thanksgiving. He says, sir, I want to know the days that I will be preaching. Yes. I want to know my duty schedule from now. This month, next month. You know what I told him? Just a time. Come and carry it. The way they are looking at me, they are tired of me. It's only me that I'm not tired. Can I help someone? Can I help you? You know the first reason you are ordained to ministry? Should I tell you? Learning and serving. Learning and serving. Learning and serving. You were not ordained to share pulpits. We are given pulpits, it's a privilege. But the real assignment is what? Learning and serving. Oh, praise God. How many points did I give you? Secondary. How many have we mentioned? Okay, let me ask him. He has four. Can you tell us the ones you have, sir? Let's follow you. Yes, sir. Number one is what? No. Secondary. We began with direction. Yes. Commitment. Yes. Continuous learning. That's three, isn't it? Number four, consistency. Consistency. The followers of them who through faith and patience. The word patience there is what? Consistency. Obtain the promise. Hebrews 12:1. Seeing then that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. And what? Run with patience. Listen to me, everybody, if you don't mind. Listen to me. Consistency is the name of this game. This game called calling and ministry, the name is what? Consistency. Okay, I understand how you went to gift. What you were talking about for. He was not wrong. You know, I was talking about grace. calling, gift, then I stop there, isn't it? You want the rest? Okay, let me finish this point. I'll go there. Thank you, sir. Just remember now. Amen. Praise God. Consistency. Hallelujah. I beg you, answer me. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of us, you've traveled with a small car, your beautiful Benz, you are speeding 140 kilo per hour, 120, you pass a truck, pew! Then like 30 minutes in your journey, somebody said, Zen Yipusari, want to pee, then you park. Now this truck is just moving 80 kilo per hour, chukutu. As you park, to ease yourself, the truck comes and overtakes you. That means with all your speed, the person that is consistent goes ahead. See, consistency gives relevance to speed. Your speed is of no use if you are not consistent. And if your church has prayer online 5 to 6, be consistent in showing there. These are the things that make men. Meeting like this, you will come. Midweek service, you will not come. No, be consistent. Say amen. That's 4, isn't it? 5, that's the last one here. Then I'll finish. Consecration. Consecration. Our calling is a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9. It is sacred. So fulfilling calling demands a holy living. Purity precedes power. Revival fire burns better through pure vessels. You cannot keep playing with sins and be trusted with God's power. If you want to arrive at that place. Oh, the Bible says, Hebrews 12, 1, lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. Then run. Run. Hallelujah. Pastor Philip, Pastor, no, come please. Come please. Come and help me. Amen. You look like weight. Hold my left leg. Hold my left leg. Don't allow me to move, okay? You hold the right leg. If I fall, I will kidnap your wives. Now, please, I want you to see what happened to many of us in ministry. We are running the race, but we have weight on one leg and sin on one leg. Okay? Now, so see, I'm trying to run. See my destiny. Where this man of God is, see. Am I making effort? Talk to me. Am I making effort? Is there a result? Huh? You know what I call sin and weight? Effort without result. Lord, I've been fasting. We are not seeing result. Weight and sin. But when you lay them off, you will progress with ease. In ministry, Satan is not your problem. Please go to your seat. Thank you. Amen. Let's celebrate the Lord. Is anybody blessed in the house? Amen. So I have finished except for his observation. Can we raise his observation now? We've talked about gift. We've talked about calling. Ministry. Your ministry is at the mercy of your faithfulness. 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 1 Corinthians 4:1, in stewardship is required of a man to be found faithful. Do we have that? Huh? Purpose. Purpose. Your purpose is at the mercy of your focus. If you are not focused, you cannot fulfill purpose. The greatest enemy of purpose is distraction. At the mercy of your focus. Then destiny. We're talking about ministerial destiny. Destiny. Your destiny is at the mercy of your sensitivity to the Spirit. Your destiny is at the mercy of your sensitivity to the Spirit. If you ignore what the Spirit is leading you to do, you may not arrive at destiny. Hallelujah. Two more things there. Are we still together? Your future. Your future. Your future is at the mercy of your choices. Your future is at the mercy of your choices. If you make right choices, you have a bright future. What you are suffering today is as a result of wrong choices you made yesterday. So for a better tomorrow, make better choices. Hallelujah. Finally, your life. Your life. Your life is at the mercy of the instructions that you are following. Proverbs 4:13 says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Why? She is your life. What you do with instruction, you are doing with your life. The Lord bless you. Thank you, sir.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.